But I remember I went to Christian Theological Seminary. Now, Brother Cole Harper, always find it fascinating that if someone ever looks at my credentials, they're going to see that little record there. Actually, I had somebody wanted me to do some things and had a friend say, hey, they're asking whether or not you bought in to where you were at. I was like, well, I had a couple lady instructors that were dating each other. I don't think I got much from them, just so you know. But I remember I'm in this wild place. They don't believe anything like we believe at all. They don't believe much about the Bible. And there's Ron Allen. He was a great friend. He tried to get my doctorate paid for. And I thanked him very much and said no. And he was wonderful, very kind to me. But he's very, very not on the same page we are. He's teaching through 1 Corinthians. Now, you want an interesting dynamic. Go pick up a commentary on 1 Corinthians. Or go sit in a lesson somewhere where they don't understand anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And listen to them talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Brother Broson, I wish I had popcorn because it was really, really entertaining. And so he was doing wonderful. He was talking about, you know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and Sophia versus Gnosis, and one is a supernatural understanding. And he got, he was doing word studies, and it was wonderful. And I was like, wow, he's doing really good. And then finally, I'm watching as my Presbyterian friends, and like Mike Serban, my Presbyterian friend pastor, and Mother Catherine's Eastern Orthodox, and all these other denominations are in there, and they start asking questions. And what about this? And how would that look in a service? And how would that? And it was just fun watching. And finally, just kind of in frustration, he went like, well, if you really want to know, ask Bobby. They actually do this at his church. There comes a time where you have to quit talking. And you have to have somebody that can actually bring change into someone's life. Somebody's got to lead them to Jesus, not just talk about Jesus. Somebody's got to take them to the upper room where there is a life-shaking thing that can happen to their life. Point number three, last one. False close number one. Christology is eschatology. Soteriology. If you miss him, you're going to miss salvation. Why, Brother Kilman? Because you'll probably get your baptism wrong. And then secondly, it's you miss the opportunity of life in the Spirit, which is a continuation of God working in your life. And then thirdly, Christology is eschatology. Eschaton is the end, or a word about the end, but not like over. It's like goal. It's like purpose accomplished. And that means not only do we need a revelation of who he is and a revelation of who we are in him, but we need a revelation of his intention. I love the book of Revelation. I know that's odd to say. But I think what the old timers had it right when they said some people know more about what Antichrist is doing than what Christ is doing. And if you get the person and work of Christ right, you get access to eternity. One man said it beautifully. He reaches the eschaton. For us, salvation. In us, pneumatology. And with us, eschatology. There's coming a day where all of this life, the end, the purpose of God, the goal of God, teleology, the study of purpose, most of our life is about forming Christ's nature in us. And if we miss him, we miss the opportunity of having that new life that will usher us into eternity, equipped for what God has for us. Prove that, Brother Kilman. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You have a purpose. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You got to get him right. If you make that some abstract principle about the Trinity, it has no purpose. But if you understand him as the perfect human submitted to the will of God, you know what the glory of God is in his life. What does he say in verse 7? But we have this treasure, you already said it, Brother Brown, in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God, and not us. And then he begins to talk about life in the Spirit. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I sometimes get weary of people saying, and I mean, if it's prophetic and if it's genuine, amen. You're going to double this year. I've seen so many pastors hurt because maybe that's not the will of God for them in this season. And they go home double frustrated because they think they have a lack of faith. Maybe this season is something like this. You're troubled on every side. But yet there's a hope that we don't have to be distressed. You can be perplexed, but not in despair. Because when things are out of control, that just means they're out of my control. Brother Brown, they're never out of his control. And if I understand that my life is simply to give my obedience to God, and I don't have to make much of that, that's his job. All my job is to be obedient. As I just walk an obedient life with God, he will roll you into the midst of the miraculous provision in your calendar event so that you can do his will. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. He says in verse 10, you know, this is not most people's life verse. Always bearing about in the body the dying, now catch this, of the Lord Jesus. This is him in his exalted form. Every time you see Lord Jesus, it's him in his exalted, resurrected state. Brother Jordan, it means that there some things only come as we have accomplished through our surrendered humanity. There are things that God would give us if we would just stay the course in obedience and let him unfold it. We always go about bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Some things only come as we suffer. Some things only come into our nature, into our family. This life is a blip and then it's over. God is going to trust you with eternity. So he's building you for eternity. Every trial, every setback, every tear that you have to cry somewhere by yourself that no one else knows, is God saying, I know you want ease, but I got so much for you in eternity. I can't afford to give you ease. I'm building you for another world. Prove it, Brother Kilman. Okay. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Jesus, I'd like an easier road. What's the consequence? That the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. Every setback, every issue is not against you. It's for you. It's for your sakes. Why? That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And listen what the apostle says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You got to get eternity in mind. Listen, what problem are you facing now that 100 years wouldn't fix? And you just need to say, Lord, if this is about shaping contentment in my character, if this is about pulling my desire to react in resentment and to embrace bitterness, if you're working something out of my character, help me stay. Help me stay under the pressure so that you can make me into the image of Christ. Help me to be conformed to the image of your dear son. Why? So I can be trusted to rule somewhere else. Help me to suffer now so I can reign then. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's why we can't be too temporal and materialistic. That's hard for us Americans. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're being built for eternity. When we get into eternity, the external temptation will be gone. The devil will be gone. Ephesians 2:2, where Paul talks about the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. That's going to be gone. That's why some people can't be in eternity, Brother Brosom. God loves us too much to repeat Genesis 3. He's not going to do it. What's left, Brother Kilman? All that's left is the human will. But Brother Kilman, what will that look like in heaven? Could we fall again? That's why there will be no untested will in heaven. Because, Brother Cox, an untested will can result in Lucifer falling and becoming Satan and taking a third of the angels with him. No untested will be trusted with eternity. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And all of this life is built on that incredible purpose. I want to encourage some saying to God, everyday quiet, unseen faithfulness, everyday service and surrender to the will of God, even under pressure, trials, temptations, and setbacks, are all aimed at something glorious. Keep eternity in mind. That's why Jesus says in Revelation 1:8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is," he saves me, "which was, and which is to come." I am who was. How many of you have been saved? That's he saved me in the past. "Who is," helps me in the spirit. "And who is to come," he's coming back to reign. Brother Kilman, what are you saying? I'm just saying, as you walk with the Lord, he's building you for eternity. I know the temptation of condemnation. Brother Kilman, you don't know what I'm facing in my life. You don't know what I just repented of last week. You don't know what the Lord showed me in this service. How many have ever been in a service like this, and you think you're doing good, and everything's the Lord, number six, his face is shining on you, and then all of a sudden he shows you something in your heart. You're like, "Oh, I'm not saved." That's a lie. You have a sensitivity towards your conscience being towards God. And so he's going to show you the next stage of your development. It's like my boy when he was young. He wants to walk. And I understand there are people, like, you ever seen those kids are yanking on their mom, dads, and you know they're going to get away eventually. And there are some people that do that. They're going to get away from God eventually because their will is not toward him. But like when my boy was walking and he was trying to walk and I'm helping him walk and he's stumbling. And what do I do when he stumbles? Do I just say, "You're not my son anymore. Get out the door, you little two-year-old brat." No. I hold him and I pull him up. And if he falls, I pick him up. I dust him off and I say, "Try again." Why? Because you're designed to walk. Because you're going to crawl, then you're going to walk, and then you're going to run. You're saying, "Brother Kilman, I feel like I'm just stumbling around right now." I know. And God says, "I love you too much to leave you where you're at. I'm going to conform you to my image. And there are great things in your future, and I love you too much to leave you in this stage." And he shows me my heart because he says, "I want to shape the life of Christ in you. Do you know what I have in store for you?" It's like that song, "Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. One day he's coming back. Glorious day." Stand with me today. If you understand him, preach about it. Tell what he came to do. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Brother Blake, when you teach Bible studies, you tell them that this life in the Spirit is something different than what you can do on your own. And he has a purpose and a plan for every stage of your life to bring forth his glory as we surrender. That's why we're counseled to be not weary in. Because in due season, some things are time, you'll reap. That's why he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him at his appearing." You need a revelation of who he is. You need a revelation of who you are in him. And you need a revelation of his intention. He's saving you and shaping you. He's going to carry you into eternity. Would you slip up and understand and say, "Jesus, I'm glad I know who you are." I'm not talking about an intellectual knowledge here. I'm talking about knowledge that only comes from an encounter where we know that we know that we know. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We praise you, Jesus.
Come on, let's gather up as we end this service and we worship together.